All right, that's the triple dipper for the day. Let me just go ahead and jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I will just tell you that the monologue daily brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, who I happen to know personally is also a man of faith, and so there's that. But attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, 30-year veteran practice of law, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about him here in just a few minutes. All right, so today is Good Friday. It is. Today is Good Friday, the opening of the Easter weekend, the celebration of those who believe that Jesus is Lord and that we have a moment in time that we can actually pin our salvation to. I mean, that in itself is a remarkable thing if you think about it. On one moment in time, you can assign a date to when you know your whole life changed. That's the personal experience. But then Christians also, the world over, aside from their own personal experience, they have a date in time that they can see the faith fires being lit in history. Easter, we call it. We got a date on the calendar that we celebrate as the amazing event that launches our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look, I can still recall some Easter weekends as a kid. I remember being part of a church passion play and Sunday services. I remember Easter baskets and the sense that you hit the big time when you got one of those solid chocolate Easter bunnies and not those poser hollow ones. I know for a fact when I was 4 years old, we were stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. I woke up in the middle of the night, crept to my bedroom door because I thought I could hear something, and I looked down the hall, and I swear I saw the Easter Bunny. I'm pretty sure I did. I know I had to have. It was him. And then suddenly realized I might scare him away, so I rushed back to bed. I can still remember that. 4 years old. As time went on, I had kids of my own. I got to participate in some of that from the grown-up side, and because my wife has the gift of making any day special, Easter was no exception. In fact, it was more special than usual. Despite the fact that our children are now grown, the annual traditions surrounding Easter still remain. Everybody gets an Easter basket because Charlene sees to it. In our house, the coloring of Easter eggs is still very much alive. We love to do that. And now that we have grandkids, the memories have hit a new pitch. And it's just good. I was down at Fort Benning, Georgia last weekend watching my grandchildren do the Commander's Easter egg hunt. And it's just cool. So yeah, every year too, we also laugh at some of the same Easter memories, including the preschool Easter egg hunt at which my son Josh became an avowed conservative. Let me tell you a couple of stories about this Good Friday that'll warm your heart just a little bit. Well, the first one I just kind of mentioned, it goes like this. So my son Josh, true story here, my son Josh was four. He's 35 now. He was four. He already had a competitive streak. He came by it naturally. An Easter party was planned for his preschool class with an Easter egg hunt as the main event. And Josh was excited. He planned to scoop up as many as he could. And when the time came, my little man was off and running. He was a blur of activity, man, as he literally ran himself into a sweat, filling up his basket. And while the other kids were moving around at a leisurely pace, Josh got more and more excited as the fruit of his labors began to fill up his basket, to the point that he was literally having to cradle it in both arms to keep all the eggs from falling out. When the hunt was over, my Josh had clearly excelled as a hunter of colored eggs. He blew the other kids out of the water. Clear winner. All the baskets were lined up side by side. The children went inside for a party. And when it was over, Josh came out to find that his hard-won reward, due to some well-meaning adult, had resulted in a redistribution of the eggs, which was necessary, they felt, to keep some of the other children from feeling bad. Basically, most of his eggs had been redistributed to other children. His basket now held no more than anybody else's. It was a classic case of redistribution of wealth in the microcosm of kindergarten world. In my own son's words, at that moment, a conservative was born. And we still laugh about it today. Yeah, we laugh about that. We laugh about other things, too. Like, there's another story that really captures more the true meaning of Easter. This one happens to have also been my son being the central character. He was maybe three this time. He and Charlene were outside. He was playing with something. And she thought, with Easter coming, maybe she would seize the moment and talk to him about the cross, about the meaning of the season. So she got his attention, and she picked up two sticks and a piece of fresh green pine straw that was laying on the ground. And she began to tell my son at 3 years old how important it was to understand that Jesus loves him no matter what, and that we may have Easter eggs and candy, but those were just happy things that we used to remind us about Jesus going to the cross. And she told him the cross was a scary thing, but that Jesus was brave because he was God's son, and that he went to the cross because he loves us so much. Well, all while she's telling this, She's taking the Easter story, telling the Easter story. She was taking the two sticks and the pine straw, and she was using the pine straw to sort of bind the sticks together into a cross. And she showed him that. And she told him how that cross didn't stop Jesus. And 3 days later, he came back because he was so strong and so brave, and that we can all know God personally now because of it. So the whole time she's telling this story, our little guy, he's watching the two sticks being made into a cross as a visual. And then she said she saw the light go on in his eyes. And he was looking at the cross in her hands, and he reached out slowly to take it from her. And she thought to herself, oh my goodness, he understands. She was feeling pretty solid about it. Already a great mom, but now she's hitting next level, right? She's got the gospel in a way that a three-year-old can understand it. And Josh, he took that little stick cross, and he stared at it for a minute as if he was thinking it all through. And then he turned it sideways in his hand, held it like a pistol, and yelled, pow, 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 pow. Definitely my son. Definitely my boy. We still laugh at that one. And in case you're wondering, yes, my boy has grown up to be a gun-toting Christian conservative. Just too funny. But I got to say, man, those memories and many more, memories that also involve my beautiful daughter and the new ones that involve my awesome grandkids, they only happen intentionally. And by that, I mean they were part of intentional efforts at doing things that would then become the memories worth keeping. So before I go much further, let me make note that I know that not everyone listening right now believes exactly the same way I do. You may struggle with the idea of a living God who loves you no matter what. But I want to make a point that the fact that I say so is not the only say-so out there. Josh McDowell wrote a book years ago. It was called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And the whole thing was a study about the actual evidence of the Bible being accurate. Josh McDowell's book, it laid out all the archaeological evidence. It laid out historical records outside of the Bible. It laid out the fulfillment of biblical prophecies, things the Bible said that came true, the uniqueness of the Bible itself. And then after laying it all out, McDowell just stepped back like an attorney in court, rested his case, and then he lets you and I as the jury decide what the verdict ought to be. That's why it's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. So you got to ask yourself then, if history tells me that Jesus really did walk around on this earth, if history and scholars agree that this guy named Jesus actually lived and breathed and talked to people and disrupted the social order of his day like he did, then what do I believe about him? And I will tell you, in my opinion, you only have three choices. Jesus was real, so therefore he was either a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he was who he said he was. Me personally, I choose to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. And you know, there's very few days in the year when the effort to mark a day and time can have more significance than those that surround the Easter weekend. But I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you to make those memories that, like I was talking about earlier, and make them intentionally. Take a second and decide what you believe. Was this man really God? Was he a liar? Or was he just a crazy man? Or was he exactly who he said he was? The Son of God came to change the whole world by giving his life to overcome our death. That's what I believe. And listen, it doesn't matter where you are or what your station in life happens to be. Celebrations this weekend, they don't have to be a big gala deal with fancy clothes and big meals. If that's not your shtick or if you don't have those things, listen, a giant Easter basket is cool, but a kid's also going to remember just a simple pack of Easter M&Ms from a neighbor or a family member. Where you are in life does not matter. If God is universal, then so is the marking of the time around the sacrifice and the resurrection of his Son, and so is his desire just to be with you. Be less about the pomp and circumstance if that's what bothers you, and more about just making the memories of celebrating the weekend and deciding what you think about this guy who really did live. I have distinct memories of celebrating Easter in the middle of a war zone on a FOB in Baghdad. And again, of celebrating for a few minutes with just a few guys on my team in a remote corner in Afghanistan. So where you are and what you've got makes no never mind to him. What matters is the moment of celebration. The moment when you pause and you shut out the world and you realize that you are actually loved no matter what and that God proved it by giving up his best, his Son. And that's huge. Y'all, he gave up his Son. Let me tell you, I love this audience, I do, but I wouldn't give my boy for any one of you. But God did. So I'm going to encourage you with this as well. If you are able to be in church this weekend, I encourage you to do so. If you don't have just the right clothes, then find a church where it doesn't matter. Gather up with some folks, make an intentional effort to spend time acknowledging that this day, this Easter day we call it, over 2,000 years ago, literally changed the history of the world, and that all recorded time is called BC and AD, marked by that particular day. Make some memories. And my hope is it will be as real to you as it is to my family. So may you have a good Good Friday and a happy Easter. He is risen. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.